and local.
Live and local.
This is Sactown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. We have hit the midway point of the show on this fun Friday. If you got paid, shout out to you. Treat yourself. And it is time to begin our breakdown of the Kings and the Suns and who needs to do what to get a beam here on Friday. And this isn't the dog segment. Nope. The dog segment's coming up. Don't you worry. That is at 1:30. But who are you looking at to step up tonight? And this could be a little precursor to the dog segment. But what do you want to see?
Yeah.
Who do you want to step up? What is your expectation for the Kings tonight facing a lowly Suns team missing Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, Grayson Allen, basically their JV team? It's going to be Devin Booker and the crew, right? What are you expecting or what are you hoping to see from the Kings tonight?
I just want to make them make life difficult for Devin Booker because there isn't the other guy that you need to worry about. You can lock in on just slowing down Book, and I feel like I can confidently say, like, if Devin Booker doesn't get 25-plus points, it's going to be almost impossible for the Suns to win.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you have to hold him under 25, but if he is going to get to 25, make him take 20-plus shots to get there. Like, just make his life as difficult as possible. And I can live with the results. If there is, I know I talk a lot about slowing everybody down, but if you do your job on a night like tonight and just slow down Devin Booker, and like I said, you double Devin Booker at every time he crosses half court, and that leaves Josh Okogie open from
all
the corner.
Game?
I mean, of course, if he hits four or three, like you might want to shift it up, but you know, and then at that point he's already in a rhythm. But I think I can live with Josh Okogie killing us, giving you know, 5 of 5 from three or whatever, you know, on a given night. Like, that's okay as long as the Kings, again, fundamentally, if your process is good, if you understand what the right game plan is, then I can some nights live with the result. But let's not even talk about the result. Process-wise, I want to see them make life difficult for Devin Booker.
I want to see a 40 burger. I'm tired of
from
seeing
Devin
the
Booker,
Kings.
No.
I'm tired of seeing the Kings down 30 or 40.
You want to see a 40-point win?
I want to see the Kings beat the brakes off the Suns.
That's Phoenix. What
I want to see in Phoenix.
Is it still Talking Stick Arena? Let me see what they're calling it these days.
Look, maybe 40 is a little bit much, but
it's a lot. It's definitely a lot.
You should be up 20 at some point, and you should finish this game and win by no less than 15. That's what I want to see from the Kings.
You probably should. I mean, Phoenix without KD and without, you know, without Bradley Beal, and then again, without Grayson Allen as well, that really isn't a very good basketball team. Like, that is not the Suns team, which, mind you, even with Kevin Durant playing all these games, is still only 12-9. They haven't really figured it out this year. They have not been, you know, at the top of the West like I think a lot of people kind of thought they would be, even just the first year in that system. So, yeah, I mean, they should beat them pretty handily. It should be a double-digit victory, but you never know. And so I won't say that that's what they have to do, but I mean, realistically, that should definitely be, you know, a more than likely outcome, I would say.
Have we not been here before though with the
absolutely.
Kings? Like,
absolutely.
Even hearing Jason this morning be like, "Yeah, the Kings have to win this," right? Maybe he didn't say half, but this is like a very stereotypical Kings loss.
Kings loss.
For sure. Like, a game they should win, a game they're better. And
everything
for some reason,
for
they just come out flat and maybe get within 8 or something at some point. And you're like, all right, here. Oh, okay. So I it's just hard.
They're not losing this game.
They're not losing this game.
No, I would say.
They might.
Light the beam!
There you go. That's what's going to happen.
That's what you'd say?
I would say that it is very possible that they mess around and this game is much closer than it should be, right? But they're not losing this game. They're not.
They're only favored by like a point and a half. Yeah.
Excuse me?
I saw on Bleacher Report they're favored by a point and a half this morning.
There's no way.
That's crazy.
Okay.
That's wild.
Hold on.
I mean, I can't think of the logic for that besides the fact that Phoenix is at home. But even then, 1.5 is not.
Now I'm seeing 2.
2.
Even that.
So
that's
so what
and Phoenix is favored too at that. You know, I mean, there is the argument.
No,
Kings are favored.
Oh, okay.
You're asking like who needs a show out. I think Keegan Murray needs like 5 threes tonight.
Are we confirming is Keegan playing?
I don't know if they've officially said.
Maybe that's part of it.
He needs a.
Don't know about Keegan.
It's weird because if I'm looking specifically at Bleacher Report, he is not listed on the injuries. Duarte and Alex Len are.
Interesting.
Here you go. This is an explanation here from CBSSports.com why the Suns can cover. Normally, the Suns wouldn't be a home underdog, but without stars Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal, tonight, the heavy lifting falls on guard Devin Booker's shoulders. In 12 games this season, Booker is averaging 27 points, 6 rebounds, and a career-high 8 assists.
Wow.
Especially without Durant's 31 points per game in the lineup, Booker will likely have to score more than 30 points for Phoenix to have a big chance in this matchup. With shooting guard Grayson Allen with the groin injury out tonight as well, Eric Gordon will take on a heavier role in the Suns' backcourt next to Booker. The sharpshooter is averaging 14.3 points nightly but has slumped lately, scoring 10 or fewer in 2 of his last 3 games. Phoenix's deep bench will be key tonight with players such as Keita Bates-Diop, Nasir Little, and Jordan Goodwin having to step up in order for the team to compete.
Okay.
That didn't explain anything.
No. And also covering 2 points is basically a pick 'em.
It's pretty much.
So it's like,
but that didn't explain anything.
No, it just stated facts.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty boring.
They could have at least put the Suns' record when it's just Booker
that,
out
that,
there.
What is this?
It didn't say anything.
What is this?
Just stating
facts. And
they
didn't even mention Watanabe.
Yeah.
Or Bol Bol.
I wonder if we will see Bol Bol tonight. That'd be great.
I don't even know if I saw him on the bench in Vegas.
Yeah.
Traveling with the team? He redshirting?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that situation. But you definitely might. You might. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if the bench is completely open tonight for Phoenix. But I don't know. I mean, to me, it's...
It will be after they're up 40.
It feels like the Kings should be massive. I mean, you know, whatever. The Vegas spread is the Vegas spread. Yeah, I mean...
5 on the road!
I would probably feel comfortable with that. 4, 4.5. Yeah,
you know,
like 5.
You know how in the NFL, they're like, home team gets an automatic 3 points, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
Does that translate to the NBA at all?
I think it's like 1 or 1.5, maybe 2 points, but I feel like not really. It's not like as definitive as a number as it is in football.
I know I'm being real pessimistic about the Kings, and I'm being kind of a downer. But I think just being a Kings fan forever, it's like...
Well, you're not alone.
They got you right where they want
you. It's you know, you get your heart ripped out a little
bit. You're not alone. 916-339-1140 from the 916. If you want to watch a 40-point win, rewind the Lakers taking care of the Pelicans. Come on, guys.
Was that a 50-pointer?
Guys, it's Friday. Some of you got paid. The Kings are going to smack the Suns. Trust me.
They should. They really should. Like, it's... I'm with Nate, though. I'm a lot more on Nate's side of confidence meter than I am on yours.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily that I feel like the Kings...
Just how many times have we seen this? How many times have we seen... Even last year. Like, and it's happened this year, too. Houston comes to mind immediately.
This is all scarred emotion.
Yeah.
That's all. That's all.
Like, you know...
It's really bad tissue.
They will win by, I would say, between 7 and 10 points.
That's okay, great. So you've reeled a lot in the past few
40
minutes.
40 to 7. I'm working with you, 10.
I know. We're trying to bring you back to reality.
I wanted to see it. Okay, and I feel like we're here now.
The Kings
will be up 15 for a majority of the game.
Okay.
And it will end.
It gets
Devin
a
Booker
close.
Will get on a heater, and they will end up winning by between 7 and 10 points.
I hope you're right.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that makes me feel hopeful is, again, like I said yesterday, it does feel like this Monday through Friday gap is like a mini reset where, you know, you shouldn't have disappointment after this much time off. You've had a lot of time to get ready and get prepared for this restart. And so it makes me feel like the Kings should come out and play, you know, full energy and take advantage of the situation. But I don't know. It's really hard to not get that old scar tissue out of the way. Like, it feels like, much like the Niners a little bit, where it feels like you kind of look at the situation and it feels like there's possibility for a letdown game just because they might overlook the opponent or whatever. It just feels like there's a slight opening for an opportunity where maybe, you know, when you really look at it, they're probably shouldn't be feeling that way.
Got to get to a break. When we get back, we will discuss how the Kings will win by double digits.
Okay.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. on this Friday, talking all things Kings Suns and what the Kings have to do to get a W, a beam on a Friday. And I'll tell you this much, one thing and one way that they could celebrate is by seeing Skid Row.
Ooh.
December 16th, Live Nation has teamed up with Sacktown Sports for your chance to see Skid Row at Hard Rock Live. For more information, visit SacktownSports.com. And we're going to go here. We're giving away one pair of tickets to see them. And we're going to go with caller number, the number that the Kings are going to win by tonight. So caller number 10. Caller number 10.
I was like, number 40?
No, yeah, caller number 10. All right? Nate will take care of you back there as he laughs and eats his donut post 12 o'clock. We're not judging him. Caller number 10 to see Skid Row.
I had a good workout yesterday.
There you go. 916-339-1140. 916-339-1140. Caller number 10. How often do they do double digits? Not often. That's why Nate is shaking his head. Yeah. Caller number 10. That's time it out.
Gus is here.
I can't hear you.
I think you said Gus is here?
Gus is here.
I heard Gus come out. Can't hear me.
I hear you now.
Oh, I heard Gus. Sorry. Caller number 10.
Caller number 10. There you go. To see
from
Skid
the swamp.
Row. From the swamp. Caller number 10. Time it out. 916-339-1140. To see Skid Row December 16th. All right. As we break down Suns Kings, how will they win by 10?
Well, number one,
Kevin Herter is going to go off.
Okay.
Okay. You're going to be on a Herter heater.
Okay.
That's going to happen. Number two, De'Aaron Fox is going to continue to power. This is another Kentucky matchup.
Yep.
Don't sleep on those.
Okay.
Another Kentucky matchup. So you will have De'Aaron Fox going off against his Kentucky brethren. And Sabonis still, we're still on that non-20 point streak, right?
I haven't paid attention to it, but yes, I have heard about this streak. I don't know where it currently stands, though. I've heard people on the socials talking about it.
Well, we're just going to do it just like this. It ends tonight, just like All-American Rejects.
Okay.
And Sabonis will get 20. All these things will get put in a pot, and you will have the Kings. And Nate and Chris have lowballed me down to 10, but I do think it will be a butt whooping by the Kings against the Suns, who the Suns are essentially saying,
right,
no mas, we're good here, we're just trying to survive and see the next day. Did I convince you at all?
No, I'm sorry. I mean, yeah, I guess. I mean, I wouldn't say you convinced me, but
sure.
You know, as I become, you know, less and less worried. I don't know. I look at the paper or these two teams on paper, and it feels like, yes, the Kings should win this. But like Nate's been saying, it feels like the Kings emotionally have us right where they want us. Like right where we start to believe that, oh yeah, this is like you laid out, this is a possible opportunity. Pick one up against the Suns, pick one up against the Nets, and then, you know, you have a matchup against the Clippers where the Kings owe them one. You know, the Kings need to get that, even up that series over the Clippers, and then they have that tough stretch of games. Like, this is an opportunity for the Kings to get a couple games above 500 and then go into that tough stretch. But something about this tells me that this is actually going to be the tough stretch, and the stretch that we think is going to be tough is actually going to be easy, because that's just how things operate.
That's just how things operate. And excuse me, Sabonis had 26 last
game. There you go. Yeah, I was like,
a shady triple-double, one of the quietest triple-doubles. Didn't feel like it because it was in a losing effort. But, yeah, hopefully just keep it rolling. De'Aaron Fox with a 30-burger. So, you know, we'll hopefully have some more news on Keegan Murray before the show is over.
Yeah, that's right. You asked me about that. No update yet on Keegan, just the reports from yesterday from guys like Frankie and everybody else who was out at practice, just that Keegan participated, and we're expecting to hear some sort of update on that injury pretty soon. If I'm not mistaken, I believe the injury report for the NBA comes out around 12:30. So okay. We will be hearing that news pretty soon here.
Now, here's the question. Now that you, if you are, because I look, it's backs, man. Don't mess with backs, hips, or knees. Just don't, can't do it.
Stay away.
Right? Can't do it.
Won't do it.
And now that you see, if you are the Kings, and I know Keegan wants to play, how important is it to have Keegan play tonight now that you see KD and Grayson Allen? You already knew Bradley Beal wasn't going to play. Do you look at Keegan differently now and say, hey, you get a break over the weekend.
Yep.
So if you say, hey, I like our, even though Vegas doesn't, I like our chances, and Vegas might be -2 because they don't know what's going to happen with Keegan.
Sure.
But if you are the Kings, you say, look, man, if we look at the requisite parts that we have versus the Suns, I know we want a W here, but we can get Keegan 2 days rest.
Two extra days rest
before a back-to-back.
That's the biggest thing. And that's why I think I wouldn't be surprised if Keegan doesn't go tonight. Give him a full week off of rest. The last time he would have played is this past Monday. Give him till the following Monday when the Kings play the Nets. Give him tonight off. Again, like you said, give him 2 extra days of rest. It'll go a long way. And, you know, then you can really feel a little bit better, I think, about playing him in that back-to-back if his back feels better. I think, you know, it's a little bit risky to throw him out there on that short of rest. That would be 3 games and 5 nights. And, you know, like we've said with backs, it can be him coming across a screen and trying to run through a screen and just a little thing tweaks. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's actually what happened to him on Monday. Was he was just navigating through screens, got pinballed a little bit between some bodies, and that's all it took to tweak his back. So, yeah, I think you got to take it as slow as possible in a game where KD's not playing. You got to believe that you have enough horses to get it done without Keegan Murray being super instrumental. Plus, they've already played a couple of games without him, so at least it's not a completely foreign thing. Right, exactly. Yeah. Unfortunately, but they should be at least somewhat used to what the roles look like when Keegan's not out there. So I would hope that they could. It's not De'Aaron Fox, you know. You should be able to give a guy like Keegan a night of rest if he really needs it.
Yeah, and we will see if this game is going to be one. We're talking so much about the guard play and, you know, forwards and things like that. What about the trenches? Somebody on the text line has something to say about Nurkic, and we know Chris all of a sudden
softy
has strong feelings about Nurkic that I want to get into. Who will win the battle down low? Will it be Sabonis or Nurkic? We will talk about that and more when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, taking you up to 2 p.m. Trying to flip the vibes here. I think yesterday it was the Sack Chat, the text line, all the listeners saying that we were the negative Nancys, I think somebody said on the text line verbatim. Now, today, I need everybody to pick it up a little bit.
I know.
You have, this is from the 916 and 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. From the 916, watching a team the Kings handled twice already destroy a team the Kings probably won't beat all year in the Pelicans. That's not at all frustrating. It was frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
It was a tough day. Yeah. Can we just, why don't we do this?
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to acknowledge it was a tough day.
Yeah.
And then you got to flush it. So that's what we're going to do here.
Let's do it.
I'm looking at Nate behind the glass. He's doing an awesome job, by the way.
Good job.
And I'm looking at you, Chris, and I'm looking into the hearts of everybody listening right now on this Friday fun day. Doesn't feel like it.
Light the beam.
There you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Draymond.
Thank you, Draymond.
Thank you, Draymond.
Thank you for bringing the energy today, Draymond.
What a tangled web we weave. Uh-huh. Draymond being the one to pick us up. This is
what he's there for. You know,
let's get out everything. Yeah. Of what happened last night.
Let's do it.
Let's just exercise our demons, get the skeletons out the closet, and move forward.
Can I get out? I got to get something out.
Sure.
So yesterday, you know, I guess this is self-promotion. I put out a video of you guys talking about De'Aaron Fox and the contract situation, that stuff. So I was talking about money financially. That news was dropped, what was that, Wednesday?
Yeah.
That he turned down a deal before. Right. And that was news at the time, right? Like, no one really knew that.
Because it was back in the summer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, before the season.
Mm-hmm. It was new news on something that had happened previously.
Yeah. So last week, I believe it was, you guys had kind of a weird conversation that maybe, I don't know if you guys were on a different page or something about Fox stat padding, right?
Yes. Oh, man. Right. I had my buddies. I didn't even tell you this.
Really?
I had a buddy hit me up and said, you and Watkins were getting after it.
Yeah,
huh?
We don't like each other.
And I think Whitey had said, whoa, what do you guys got going on? In the moment, it did not feel that spicy.
No,
to
it
me.
Didn't no. feel, for me, it didn't feel
I
spicy
was just
at
confused.
All.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think there was some confusion of like
good.
What point was trying to be made.
Of course.
Maybe. Yeah, which is not
I'm
good.
Still confused.
Yeah. So
we can go back.
No.
This
please no.
Fox turning down that extension.
Yeah.
Does that play into the theory that he's potentially stat padding to get that all NBA title?
Nate, are you doing that?
Well, because we're getting it all out, I thought. I thought we're getting it all out. That's my bad. But seriously, like, I mean, he's putting up big numbers in games where normally I think in previous years maybe he wouldn't have.
But what does that mean? What does that mean? That last nugget, what does that mean?
I just think in games.
Why not?
I think there's games where you know you're going to lose, and that's
okay,
it.
That's kind of. No. Because that now we're getting back to what it was. No.
He's just asking questions.
No. My point was just that it's just going to be pedal to the metal, and when it's, hey, nobody else seems to have it, I'm going to make sure that I go get after it. But that was never to say that it wasn't to also help the team.
Right.
That's what I never wanted to get lost. So to answer your question, Nate, the whole stat padding conversation is confusing. To me, stat padding, and I am never going to say De'Aaron Fox doing this, stat padding was, who was it? Your boy on the Grizzlies, who's Steven Adams. Steven Adams getting out of the way so Russell Westbrook on the Thunder could get a rebound and average a triple-double. That's stat padding. Not, it's my world, and by the way, everybody else is Clank Master Flex, so I'm just going to keep shooting and hopefully get us back in the ballgame. That's all I was saying about De'Aaron. That is nowhere near what we've talked about with other players. To your point about the All-NBA thing, I'm sure it helps. You can't put these incentives into a contract and expect somebody to not think about it.
Right.
We're humans.
There was a
We're
moment
humans.
Yesterday where I think D'Angelo Russell must have something in his assist, like in his contract for assist, because he had a fast break and then he passed it back to AD. And then AD got fouled and AD missed a free throw.
Yeah.
And I was like, in that moment, Darvin Ham has to be like,
why did you just go up?
Why didn't you just, like, you just cost us a point, which obviously it didn't end up mattering, but like, I had that same thought yesterday during that game where I was like, that's got to be a contract thing. Like, that is stat padding.
Do you think...
Personally, I thought that he was very similar to Malik Monk in Utah to start the season. I thought... I hear what you're saying. It was bizarre because normally D'Lo wants his points.
Yeah, right.
I thought maybe he thought AD was going to baptize him. That's what I initially thought.
Fair.
But it was bizarre.
It was bad logic, regardless.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
It was not the same. Like, even at least De'Aaron in that Utah
AD.
Situation sucked in the defender and, like, left Malik by himself. Or, you know, put Malik in a situation where that was guaranteed to happen.
Yes.
AD
it was weird.
Kinda, yeah, it was
weird.
Just a weird moment where I was like, that's... I wouldn't put it past D'Angelo Russell either. No. That's the problem.
No. Do you guys think incentives like that should be removed from sports contracts? Like in the UFC, a lot of the times the winner gets, it's a 50-50 split. So the winner is making half the money, or the fighter's making half the money if they lose. That's way more dramatic, I think. I think that shouldn't exist in fighting. But in the NBA and the NFL, that could cause some serious issue. Like,
I mean, we're talking about you work at a restaurant or somewhere like that, and you're splitting tips.
Yeah.
And somebody like that, that's what's tough, right? That's you. I don't know. I don't think it's a problem. I think it's part of it. I think that you want your star to take over sometimes,
sure.
Right? Because I think Vivek sees De'Aaron and says, oh, is it better? I think we want to win, but if De'Aaron is pushing his brand, that
right.
also helps well, because more De'Aaron Fox jerseys are going to get bought versus, hey, he helped out
yeah.
Kevin Herter get him going. Now, we know the team part of that, but also I think that teams do not mind them unless they get ridiculous, like Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, where Steven Adams is running out right. of the way. And I think they try, don't they treat some rebounds sometimes as almost steals if they're not contested, right? I think there's something in there where they actually had to. I remember something going down with some of the rebounds Russell Westbrook was grabbing mm-hmm. where scorekeepers, like the scorebook was thinking, I don't really know how to give this to him because Steven Adams is running out of the way,
right?
And it's not as contested, whatever
or
it
like
is.
Like a tip to him.
Exactly. I couldn't hold on to it.
To your exact point you're making, though, right there, doesn't that hinder the Thunder, though, those years, right?
If they just weren't going to win anyway.
Yeah.
That was
okay.
Their
you could say, I mean, you could say that, but you don't know really. Like, what about, like, let's say there's a clause in James Harden's contract this year where he has to, I don't know, hit a certain amount of threes, right?
Sure. Right.
That could cause a major issue for the Clippers.
For sure. Right. James Harden could start.
They're
chucking.
Doing it,
yeah.
though.
Yeah. I think the thought process is
yeah.
I think you just shouldn't. I think you if the incentives should always be award based. I would not do like statistical.
Yeah.
I would not say you score over 20 points per game, you'll get a bonus. Because to your point, Nate, like that leads to. Okay, well, I need to get to 20 points.
And everyone knows it.
I don't know how many incentives are like that because this is all stemming from the Supermax. The
Supermax
is just all NBA.
Yep, all NBA.
So, but how do you get to all NBA?
Stat padding.
Well, I would say first and foremost, but not even statistics. It's more, honestly, it's first and foremost success. Like, if you're a successful team, you're probably going to have people on the first and second. Mm-hmm.
Just
and
like All-Star. Third.
It's the same, you know, like the Kings were so good last year. People were like, it's not crazy. Like, they almost need to have two people on the All-NBA list because it almost doesn't make sense to say, you know, Sabonis is the only one responsible for this. It feels like you can't tell the story of the season without having De'Aaron Fox mentioned in there as well. So I think the thought process behind putting those incentives in there is – first and foremost, none of these things come unless the team is successful. And if the team's successful, we're all winning. Mm-hmm. That's all we care about.
You're saying the incentive should be for maybe regular season wins, playoff wins,
yeah.
how deep you make it into the playoffs, finals appearance, stuff like that. You think
accolades
those
too.
Those should
Sixth Man of the Year. If Malik wins Sixth Man of the Year, he should definitely. But like, I
that
mean, what's
gets
wrong?
In, that gets into kind of gray area too, right?
Well, what's
it's
wrong
never
with Malik
not
Monk?
Be
if,
gray,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no way to do this. There's,
right.
Or there's no way to have incentives and be thinking, oh, did Malik take that three because he's trying to make Sixth Man of the Year? I mean, there's no way to do that.
Right.
But if ultimately, I think things can look a little bit obvious, right? You can tell when somebody is pressing, and I don't think that I've seen anything from De'Aaron. Honestly, not to bring him up, but I'm going to have to. You can tell it's pretty obvious when somebody is pressing and or stat padding, and Klay Thompson is probably the most obvious case to tell when he is pressing. Right? When he's pressing, that ball's going up.
It's
I'm
going
to shoot through the pain.
Right.
Right. You know how people tweet through the pain? Like when Tim Anderson got knocked out and he kept tweeting, I'm a B-back. Nobody had my back. He was tweeting through the pain. Klay Thompson shoots through the pain. And you can tell. There was no point in time when, and I don't even remember what game that was with De'Aaron Fox, where
right.
I thought he doesn't care about the game. That particular situation was, This is the best way I see
right.
to get it figured out. My argument was, does he give an extra pass? Did he maybe?
I hear what you're saying.
Did he get? Could he have given an extra pass to double check? And De'Aaron felt like at that point in time, I gave y'all enough chances.
Right, exactly.
It's go time.
Some guys, like I think, was a big problem with Tyrese Haliburton before he changed his mindset. Some guys are like, look, the team doesn't have it going. Yeah, it's great if I get going, but it's also a whole lot better for the team if I can get Obi Toppin going first, and then I can. I already know I can impact the game. You're just saying instead of looking for that guy, De'Aaron's like, let me get mine first, and then everything will work off of that. Yeah. Not just, It's a very hard line, but I absolutely hear what you're saying.
It is, and now we got to get to a break, and we didn't even get to talk about how much you dislike Nurkic. So we will that after the break. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports, take you up to 2 p.m. I'm seeing you on the Sack Chat, turning its vibe around.
Okay.
And look, Nate got to exercise all of his demons in the last segment. I think it's very, look, it was a tough night last night for Kings fans. You had the Pelicans who got dog walked. They might as well have just flown straight to Nollins, okay? And now there are reports. And by the way, if you were listening earlier today, that report from the out of New Orleans about Zion not listening to the team as far as his dieting and his conditioning, that got confirmed. That was posted on Bleacher Report. So that's a real thing. And this is why everybody wanted to throw Pelicans. Oh, they're top four. They're top five. We'll see. So that happened there. It was tough to watch Haliburton do his thing as a Kings fan last night. It was also tough to watch the Lakers destroy the Pelicans, who you have not been able to beat the Pelicans, and you have beat the Lakers twice. So it was a tough night for Kings fans. That could have, would have, should have. That should have been your night to be a part of the action, but it wasn't. And now we move forward, and now we flip the page.
And like I told you earlier, I feel envious of people who can just move on from Tyrese Haliburton and just enjoy him being on the Pacers. It's great.
Are they lying though?
That's what I wonder, because there's like, especially I'm seeing a couple people who are like really big Kings fans, and you know, I know for a fact they do love the Kings, but there's a part of me that just, maybe it's because, you know, I'm way too deep into the sports culture, and I do feel like there is very tribalism, or should be a sense of tribalism between teams. It just, it doesn't, I don't 100% love it. Like, you know, there is 10%, 15, maybe 25, if I'm being honest, that's like, I don't like this. Like, I don't like to see, I want everybody who leaves my situation to be worse off for it, you know? Am I a bad part? Like, I feel like I don't know, my bad. I thought that was human nature, but I guess I'm just a little bit worse than everybody.
Well, maybe not to that extent that you want him to be a bum.
No, I don't want him to be a bum, but I don't also need him to be the MVP.
Right. You definitely don't want him to get better.
Yeah, that's not
right?
it.
I mean,
like, I could deal with Stephon Diggs' situation in Buffalo.
Sure.
Good on you, dude. Like, do you, whatever. But if homeboy starts setting receiving records, that's when I'm like, all right, hold on here.
Well, yes, that would be tough. And it goes back to the ex conversation, right? You move on, you're happy in your relationship. Yeah. That's great.
We're very happy.
You want them, you don't want them to struggle to find love.
No, yeah.
But if you find out.
Find them on the streets or something.
Right. But if you find out they're with some stud muffin, you're going to be like, oh, and now all of a sudden, you know, they're making
some tech
money.
Bro,
You know, or somewhere, I'm talking about sports and you're dating an NBA player. I'll be like, man.
Yeah.
Hold on, the heck?
Hold on. So I was just talking about Kevin Herter.
Now you're talking about
Kevin Herter.
So I completely hear you on that one. But I do want to throw it back to you, because on the text line, and if you want to be a part of the conversation, 916-339-1140. All good going back to the Kings and Suns and trying to figure out if the Kings are going to put the hurting on the Suns like I have predicted them to. All good until Nurkic looks like Moses Malone against our terrible defense. If Nurkic goes off, Come on now.
Come on now. I mean, Nurkic,
we are not down that bad. No. The Kings, it hasn't even been a week. The Kings beat the Nuggets.
Yeah. The defending champ.
And the Warriors.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I don't know. It does feel like, you know, and maybe we're guilty of it too, but like getting a little bit too lost in the day-to-day of all of this and forgetting about the fact that this is still a good team. And yeah, I mean, like Nurkic, the Kings have definitely allowed some Skylar Mazes out there to have career nights. Let Herb Jones the other day put 23 Jones. On him. But
did he even play last
relax.
Night?
Let's
Herb?
Relax. Let's yeah. That to me is the more frustrating thing. The fact that the Lakers shut down B.I. was
right.
nowhere to be seen. But Zion actually at least finished in double figures. Brandon Ingram, I think, had 9 last night.
I mean, but did
talking about black Air Forces. I saw him show up in black Air Forces.
Did you find yourself watching those two teams? And I know the Kings have handled the Lakers, but we know the Lakers and LeBron, they're like boxers, head body. They want to get going later in the season. Did you find yourself watching this game still thinking, I found myself watching the game thinking, I don't even know how the Kings beat the Lakers. Just because of the length.
Yeah, I mean, right, when the Kings played them both times, they didn't have Jared Vanderbilt.
That's true.
And that helps. I mean, that really helps. Like, I think the fact that the Wolves didn't have Jaden McDaniels really changes that game too. Because I thought the same thing. I was like, the Kings couldn't deal with the New Orleans size and length. Seems like New Orleans can't deal with the Lakers' size and length. So how have the Kings been able to overcome the Lakers' side of it but look terrible all three times against the New Orleans' length? Didn't really make sense, but, you know, they did do a good job of throwing some lineups out there that were, you know, Austin Reeves, LeBron, Hachimura, Vanderbilt, and Christian Wood. I don't think the Kings saw that lineup. Like, that's a problem if the Kings were to face a team like that. And, you know, it's definitely something interesting that, you know, maybe when these two teams play again, could end up being a problem for them.
I mean, you saw it. They were literally Zion and Brandon Ingram. They were literally playing hot potato.
Yeah.
There's nowhere for me to go, right? You have Anthony Davis just waiting in the wings, and then you have a wing guarding Brandon Ingram in case he gets by.
Yep. And Zion, then LeBron's just sitting in the paint.
Zion's
He's
saying,
like,
Zion, shoot that
Come
thing,
here.
Brother.
Yeah.
Shoot that thing. I know you got it. And Zion's saying, I have not unlocked that yet. And now Zion is dealing with a lot of different conversations. And this is what happens with the Kings. You probably got the best version of the Pelicans. 916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. Like Jason, what do you got for us? Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
What's up, fellas? Man, I'm just trying to understand all the vitriol, man, and Sack Sports landscape on both channels for my boy Tyrese. That dude is a king for life, in my eyes, man. We drafted him. He will always be a Sacramento King. I love it. I miss him. You know what I'm saying? I love my team, but I love seeing him eat. You guys keep using, you know, a female as an example. We gave that pretty young thing up.
Right.
He said we didn't want her no more. So why we hating? Because she, you know, she eating. He over there eating and he living. I don't understand why we got a problem with that.
Yeah, well, I think
it just hurts. I don't think we necessarily have a problem with
right,
it.
I think Chris, and you, I'll let you go, Chris, but I think it was more, thanks for the call, Jason.
Yeah,
thanks for listening.
Definitely.
Yeah, I don't think it's a matter of actually wanting Tyrese Halliburton to
fail.
Play poorly having a problem with Tyrese Halliburton. It's just unfortunate how the situation has revealed itself. And I mean, that's really, I'll let you go because I know that was more of kind of where you were coming from.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's just, to me, it's not about, like you said, it's not about wishing Tyrese doesn't do well. It's just, I selfishly wish he wasn't playing this well because it hurts so much when he is playing this well. And it does make you have to reconsider the Sabonis Tyrese trade. And I still feel the same way I feel about it, but it just makes, as he's going to continue to put these performances together, it does make you think and it makes you wonder and it makes you long for a time in which he was your cornerstone franchise piece that you felt like you were going to build around. And, you know, I love the fact that Kings fans always do have the passion of once a king, always a king. I think that's great. I love it when, you know, people like, it's the reason why Vlade Divac was able to fail as a GM so tremendously, but then now we see him sitting courtside, and I think for the most part, most people or a majority of people are definitely okay with him sitting on the sideline because he did bring a lot of good memories to this Kings organization when a lot of people haven't brought good feelings. So I understand that, but at the same time, Tyrese Haliburton was a king for a season and a half. He is not. He is. I don't know. Like,
but if he's
I
a king
can view.
For life
I just
Jason,
mean like I can view
life.
Him as some as something else. Like I don't know. Like I think it that would be how I understand now better how you could just be 100% happy and feel no jealousy or anger or frustration towards watching Tyrese. I understand that a lot better now after that call, but. To me, I don't know. I still think that you just, even again, like you don't ever right. want to see somebody leave you and be better off for
it. Right. But yeah, it's specific to the situation though. And if they do end up being better, kudos to them.
Totally.
Right. So, yeah. but from a King standpoint, yes. and especially doing this job and especially what we got to see on social media as right. a fan, that's what this is about.
Right.
It's not about Tyrese Haliburton, the person.
No,
ever.
No, no, no.
And
he's
Jason,
everything that you would ever want to root for in a player.
Exactly.
Which again, to me, it almost adds to the pain.
It's
like,
it's
this
all
is
pain.
Everything that I would want to root for. Tyrese got, like, we all love and have embraced De'Aaron Fox tremendously here in Sacramento. Tyrese Haliburton was like wearing Jason Williams jerseys to games and stuff.
Right.
He understood what it meant to like be a piece of this franchise
yeah.
and how to get the city to rally around you. And again, to me, yes, that's why I understand why people still love him. But to me, it's also a big reason why it hurts or it's painful to see him do what he's doing somewhere else is because I was like, man, this guy, again, he embraced this situation so much, it just hurts really bad to see him not do it for us.
Right, and it's a tough spot as a fan, right? Because you can't have vitriol towards the front office because you made the playoffs,
yeah.
and that's your team,
yeah.
right? I mean, you don't, as much as fans like to complain, you don't want to complain about your team all day, every day.
Try
I mean,
not to.
There are the Browns, and there are plenty of teams that have to. The Kings finally don't have to. Unfortunately, you just gave up what could be a really, really good player. And
right.
there's still a lot to see. But when I think vitriol, as Jason, the term that he used,
yeah.
I think of Tyrese Haliburton getting booed when he comes back to Sacramento
right.
on January 18th.
Ooh,
you know that's going to be fire, by the way. You know that's going to be fire. And I don't think there's one person in
he's
Golden 1 that's going to boo him.
No, he's getting a standing ovation.
But at the same time, you're not going to boo him. But at the same time, do you want him to become an MVP?
Right.
And now you just got to watch this over and over again. So it's a tough spot.
I
see
tough.
Where Jason
yeah.
is. Okay, Nate is giving me the Dame Time celebration saying we got to go. So when we get back, we will continue to talk Suns, Kings, more of your calls, more of your texts, more of your chat from the Sack Chat, Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.